right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Great of you to stop by. Always a pleasure. We're always honored that you want to spend some time with us. My name is Henrik. I'm your host. This is RedEyes.tv. If you are listening to the radio version of this show, if you're catching the podcast or however you listen to the program, please know that we have a video version of this show available at RedEyes.tv or on our YouTube channel. Simply go to youtube.com/RedEyes Radio. And when you do, do make sure that you subscribe to the channel and click that little alerts icon as well, so that you get notifications when we have new material up. So our guest today is David Dees. He is a conspiracy graphics designer. He's an artist. He touches upon a lot of different topics. We've had him on the show before. You know, RedEyes comes from a perspective initially. In the good old days, we used to do shows on conspiracies all the time. We used to talk about a lot of different subjects, some off-the-wall stuff, some more down-to-earth, science, technology, philosophy, esoteric things, just a slew of different areas. Over the years, we've kind of honed in on some subjects that we consider to be the most important topics, things that are of urgent and pressing, you know, need for us to address. We are still, and I personally am still very much interested in some of these subjects. I think it's fun. I think it's good to exercise your mental capabilities and question things which you normally do not do. Doesn't mean that you have to believe them all. It doesn't mean that we ask of you to believe them all. It can be a mental exercise. But of course, now and then there is some truth to some of these things, right? I mean, we've been lied to about so many different things. As an example, if you come more from an alt-right or nationalist perspective, remember that the mainstream is telling us that, you know, immigration is all fine, multiculturalism is great, diversity is our greatest strength, and, you know, history is not written by the victors, it's just the 100% accurate truth, always, and never question any of it. So with those things in mind, you can hopefully see that it is healthy to question even things that initially might sound off the wall. It doesn't mean that I personally, or maybe you, agree with, you know, some of the things that our guest is going to talk about today, and that's fine, you know, it doesn't mean that we can't talk with different guests. But also, just to be frank about this, it's hard to talk about the same things over and over again. You know, it's not that it's hard, but it can be challenging to doing very heavy subjects over and over and over again. And basically, I think it's important to just bring in some of those, you know, good old subjects now and then. I think it's funny. I think it's both entertaining, but it's also a good mental exercise. I think it's fun to kind of check into the good old topics that we usually talk about, kind of dip our feet into the conspiracy world a little bit now and then, and kind of check in on the temperature and see what's going on and see where some of these people are at this point. Again, doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything our guest talks about. It also doesn't mean that we are here to delegitimize other topics that we talk about just because we are interested in some other things. Nothing like that. Take it for what you will, at the very least. Look into them, at the very least. Inquire and find out for yourself. You know, I used to always say, it's good to have an open mind because it makes you, you know, question new things. That's how we, Red Eyes, were brought to this point where we are right now. And believe me, we are very focused. We know what the urgency is of the situation. We know what it is that we need to touch upon. But that doesn't mean that we can't touch upon other topics now and then and branch out and just do something that's more fun. We actually have a fairly, at least I do, humorous approach to some of the subjects we're going to talk about today. It's kind of the approach you have to take. Some of it is very much off the wall. Some of it's more down to earth, but make of it what you will. But back to my initial point, I was saying it's good to have an open mind, but not so much that your brain falls out, right? So it basically means moderation is something good, or the truth usually lies somewhere in between. From my personal point of view, I think that the conspiracy field, which I was very much engaged in many years ago now, has kind of collapsed in on itself in a way. It's brought in a lot of different variables, personally, I think this, that kind of has brought it into a different field. I don't believe everything that I read or hear just because it's off the wall. Clearly not. But at the same time, I'm not arrogant enough to believe that I know everything, or arrogant enough to think that there aren't things out there that we simply don't know about or are not being told. So, you know, this is a issue by issue basis. You have to make your judgment accordingly and see what you think. You know, that's, again, at the very least, what we ask of people is to, if you're interested, if it sounds off the wall or whatever, look into it for yourself, you know, see what you think. But from perspective of alt-right topics and these kinds of things, As I said, we are very much focused. We know what the urgency of the situation is like. We know what's going on. We are dedicated. We are out there. We're fighting this battle. You know, we are there at the tip of the spear, if you will, with our names and our faces. We're taking a lot of risk doing what we're doing. And so therefore, now and then, it's just entertaining and fun and like something different for me. It's something good to do. I'm just branching out a little bit now and then. So don't be, I don't know, deterred or think that this is somehow designed to delegitimize the other topics that we talk about. No, screw that. This is Red Ice. This is what we do. You don't have to listen to all the shows. You don't have to like all the shows. That's perfectly fine. But we know what the score is. We know what is important, and we will always continue to hammer those points. But now and then we do branch out, and we just touch base with some of the older material because it's a lot of fun. And it's healthy to question and have your beliefs, challenged now and then. Nothing wrong with that. So with that little disclaimer, that little preface, because, who knows? Some of you are probably going to attack Red Ice or me just because we branch out and talk about some different things now and then. Whatever, that's fine. But I just wanted you to know how I think and what I feel about these kinds of things, and that it's fun for me to reach back. And I hope that some of you enjoy it as well. And that you learn something new. So do look into them for yourself. See what you think. So we'll switch over to our guest. I hope you have a good time watching the show or listening. And thank you again. Really appreciate it. Let's get over to our guest. Well, boys and girls, welcome back. It is great to have you with us today. This is Red Ice TV, or if you will, if you're listening to the audio version, I guess that makes it Red Ice Radio. So we do always offer that, of course, as well. But if you do want to catch the video version of this, as we'll be playing some clips today, looking at some images and photos and so forth, definitely check out redice.tv or just go to our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/redice radio and you'll get to see the video version of this show as well. Our guest is David Dees. He is the conspiracy artist. He's very talented. We've had him on the show before. And it's always great to touch base with David. He lived in, Sweden actually for many years, so he knows some of the, cultural background as well to some of us Swedes. It's always a pleasure to have him on. So thank you for being here again, David. It's good to see you again.
Hello, Henrik. It's excellent to be here with you. A lot has happened since last time we talked, and let's go for it.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of things has happened, that's for sure. I can't even remember when you were on. Was it like 2014 or something, or maybe even earlier? I can't remember now, but we've had an incredible amount of development, specifically in the States, of course. And one of the things that we wanted to get into and talk about today is Trump. And unfortunately, after 100 days now, the failure of Trump, the disappointment with Trump. Because I have to say, I mean, many in the alt-right, many people, maybe not as many in the conspiracy field, but a whole subculture around Trump obviously emerged, from the memes to just the success of the Trump supporters and all this kind of stuff. It was just very encouraging. It was a very positive, movement, if you will, in my view. And then in the just last, 3 or 4 weeks or so, things have gone completely south in this. But what was your initial take on Trump when he showed up on the stage, David? Were you excited about him or what?
I didn't fall for their tricks anymore. I mean, we saw how many people thought Obama was going to make some change, even though he had a big sign that said change on it. And as soon as I started hearing his promises, I said, this will never happen. This is, he'll get a bullet to the forehead if he tries any of this. I mean, we look in history, anybody that tried to change any of the agenda that the Zionists, the Illuminati, whichever word you like, he is no different. It's all scripted out. Don't be disappointed. He's doing exactly what he was hired to do. Okay. I mean, if you bought it, and people said, you did some very pro Trump art there for a while. Were you not a Trump fan? And I said, sure, I'm a Trump fan if he does what he says he's going to do. But he's not, please. And so what I would do is there was one piece I had that had him with the White House. Sunshine coming out and eagles flying, and my friend that's in the military looked at it and said, well, you pretty much illustrated paradise. And I said, well, did you notice that he has a chain around his neck connected to the Federal Reserve? So people see what they want to see, and that's what happened with Trump here.
That's the one you're talking about right there. We're showing that on screen right now. And that's, that's true. And I have to mention as well, because people I think will come back and say to me and to Red Ice, because we were excited about Trump, we were covering the election, we did all these things, and in our defense, we always had reservations. We never said It's just the fact we never said he's going to be the fix-all, he's going to solve all our issues, this is great. If he gets in, that's it, we're set, we're good to go. Never. We had very, very much reserves. However, how do you approach it this way then, David? Because my take on it is the following. With Obama, they sold him as literally the Messiah. I'm talking about the media and the establishment overall now. I mean, when he went to Germany and did these big talks there and stuff at the Brandenburg Gate and these victorious speeches and everything, even on the global stage, he was, you know, sold to us as the Messiah. When it comes to Trump, they did a complete reversal to that. I have never seen, I think, a presidential candidate attacked and dragged through the mud the way Trump was. And at some point, I thought initially that how would they know to do this? Because it's a tremendous risk that they did. If they were doing some kind of reverse psychology here, basically arguing, if we in the media attack Trump, then the people are going to fall for being for him. Is that how simple it was, do you think? Because if that was the case, then they have also at this point managed to discredit themselves because so many Trump supporters, millions of people, have now turned their back on the media as a consequence because they've discovered what liars they are. So how do we solve that equation there, if you know what I mean?
There's no solving it, but there's certainly the best that we can do as activists is to wake people up. Keep talking. I mean, it's a dangerous job we're in. I mean, I lived in Sweden for 10 years, and it was in 2006 that I did my first piece of political art. Most people don't know that. I mean, I've never was particularly political before that. I just it just welled up in me, and it became an emotional outburst, this art. My illustrations, I've worked in the entertainment industry, and I've worked with, I lived in L.A. 20 years, so I worked with the movie studios there and designed video covers and whatnot. But it amuses me a bit to think that I'm on the radio being asked my opinion because, I mean, I was just some guy sitting at a computer. And now here I'm illustrating these complicated political strategies of the elite to enslave us, you know, even further. And they're very smart. They have computers and they can feed in a whole scenario and they'll know what to do. And then I think in this case that they said, well, they're waking up to us on the internet, knowing that we're, you know, that we're completely controlled. And I'm talking about the media, of course. How are we going to rehabilitate them in our eyes? And so they came up with the idea of a candidate that would be anti-media and anti-war. Yeah, look how anti-war he is. Once he got in, he's threatening North Korea with aircraft carriers. He's going to put sanctions on Russia. Remember how he was so. Me and Putin are going to be best friends, and we're going to take care of all these upsets from the past. You know, and everybody bought it. I bought it. You know, it sounded good, but I knew better. Everybody should know better.
I thought, though, I must say, I think that something happened along the way. I mean, I the way I phrase this is he was, you know, taken into the inner room of the sanctum and was given the briefing, as it goes, and basically told, like, you do what we tell you, all right? You know, we have the ability to threaten your family. We could take out your son. We could do whatever we want. Who knows what level, that this was on? I don't know. I mean, did you think he was an insider all along and just played along, or did someone get to him? Did someone tell him what the score is?
Well, he's flashing Freemason signs every 3 seconds. He's got the 666 going. He's got the triangles, you know.
You hear it? It's a white supremacy symbol. What was it again? Was it that one? Yes, it's white power, right? It was the ADL.
No, it's everything's A-OK.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, these are symbols.
Alt-right. Alt-right. Anyway, go ahead.
These are symbols that the Illuminati and the Zionists, the Freemasons, all use to signal that everything that I'm saying is a lie, and whatever I'm saying at this moment. Remember when he had an orange face? Do you know that in numerology that orange is the only color that is 33? 33 happens to be a sacred number in Freemasonry. So he went around with his orange face, and people thought he just had some weird tanning lotion or something on. And it was just a signal to all the other Freemasons, hey, man, no matter what I say here and all the promises I make, you can be sure that I'm a Freemason first, and I'm here to do whatever you want me to do. I mean, that's what we're looking at. I mean, that's what I know. But, you know, look, I mean, people are optimistic. They watch Fox News and they want to be lied to. God knows you don't want to see the lipstick on the collar of, you know, of your husband when he comes home. You just ignore it and say it's not happening. And that's basically what's happened here.
But so you think then, as a consequence, the media kind of they were willing to take that risk. Basically, they said, you know what, this is a big gamble, but someone has to do it. Let's do the reverse psychology thing. We'll do the opposite of Obama. Because it looks to me now, though, that as a consequence of this political campaign, the outcome is that the media is tanking. There's a number of now news organizations that are popping up. They've realized that they can't go to the mainstream anymore. Their numbers is dwindling. People are getting the news from alternative sources, from the internet, you know, all this kind of stuff. Okay, some could say, well, that's happening anyway, so they're just like, you know, squeezing out the last power that they had, so to speak. I don't know, but I see some contradictions within it. That's all I'm saying.
A lot of contradictions. I mean, that they're scrambling. They realize the internet is waking people up. They don't. It's not free TV channels anymore. It's people are actually waking up. So, you know, they knew they were going to take a hit by declaring it to be fake news. But the truth is that when you keep pounding people away with this thing called media, where they can take video and put a reporter out there live, you're going to see minds made up much faster than people who research. You're talking about, you know, the willful idiots that are going to buy anything that Fox News puts out. So, but I think it's a really dark future. What do you think of that?
Well, I agree with that on multiple levels, both literally and metaphorically. But let's talk about his ties for a little bit here before we talk more about the future or the coming time, if you will. I want to get your take on that later on. But what about Kushner? What about the Goldman Sachs people? What about these people who seem to have an incredible leash or as you depicted it in the image, a chain around his neck, right? Relations with Bibi, the Zionists, Israel, etc. How do you see that?
Well, it's all about Israel and the wars we fight for them. You know, they were going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, and that's all just happens to be Israel's enemies. You know, when you drop in a country, an illegal country like Israel, and then you're surrounded by neighbors that all want you gone because all you do is threaten the rest of the planet. Pardon me, planet. I think it's a flat Earth now. I don't know if you heard about it.
I don't want to get into that.
I still think planet, though. It's the least of our worries.
Well, exactly. It doesn't change the predicament we're in, nonetheless. But, you know, let's save that for a different time.
We're in a huge predicament, and I'll say that my contribution to the predicament we're in is to try to illustrate it or try to alert people to the things that I feel that are really important. So I put together these books that people are writing to me all the time and saying that it's waking up their family members, because when they would never listen before, they just hand them the book. And the book is so entertaining, but it has a lot of information in it. And they're much more willing to look at it. I'm being credited for waking people up to things that the media has basically put us to sleep with. I mean, we're in such a slumber that the only way that we're going to pull out of this nosedive we're in and maybe buck the agenda that they've rolled out with the robotics, the technology they have coming out. You know, Trump is right in there doing his best he can. He's doing anything that Israel wants. You can be sure of that. I mean, I think your question was about Kushner. Kushner, you know, you've got the guy right there in the office. I think, he's Trump's senior advisor. And do you know whose advisor is Kushner? It's Henry Kissinger. We're talking about two hardcore Zionists and Trump is a hardcore Zionist. We're looking at future wars forever. I mean, wars are not to be won. They're to be extended out as far as you can and get as much political gain as you can along the way. That's what we're looking at. With the media telling these soldiers that they should have a lot of pride in protecting America, nothing could be farther from the truth. You're looking at corporations that are throwing the wars and the Greater Israel Project also. If you've ever seen, just type in Greater Israel Israel project, and you'll see that, you know, they're getting ready to do more than just put some apartments up. They're going to extend out into the other countries, and you think they're going to stop there. We're looking at the New World Order takeover is what we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, what you're talking about here is, you know, a broad field, if I can put it that way. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, the field of conspiracy and things like this, there's obviously a lot of things going on that people are just not bothering to look into, and most of it is, frankly, you know, dismissed as just nonsense and ridiculous stuff and everything else. And, of course, there is some of that mixed into it. There are, you know, straw men, there are exaggerations, there are all kinds of stuff. You can't just swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. There has to be a didactic, you know, method to solving these things of realizing what is true or not. But what you're talking about when it comes to the Greater Israel Project is, of course, very real. It's a very tangible, you know, thing that people can go and look up for themselves. So, again, Trump has been very outspoken about these things. He's said, you know, very close to Israel. He loves Israel. There's been, granted, some contradictions. I think he did a speech after he was at APAC and after said, you know, they should pay their own bills or something like that. But, you know, he hosted the Palestinian leader just the other day. And before that, he did host Netanyahu as well. But do you think it's Kushner pushing that, or is that just him personally? Because obviously his children are Jewish. I think all of his children married Jewish spouses, too. So he has like one foot pretty much in Israel by birth through his grandchildren, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. And they're more than Zionists. They're actually, I think, transgender, too. if you take a look at that Eric Trump, he's a very strange-looking individual. And even weirder is the wife who was under a transvestigation. It turns out I'm pretty sure that's a man. So we're looking at you're looking at Satanists, pretty much, that are running the country. We knew that, but we somehow hoped that Trump wouldn't be the, you know, as bad as Obama. But let's just you putting up the picture of
yeah, is that her right there or him then?
look at the length of her arm. Look at the arm and if you look at her fingers, there's ways that you can spot a male with the length of their ring finger, and she didn't pass any of the tests. So she's full bore a man, was born a man, and uh-oh. And he looked as strange as the Twilight Zone.
We'll get shit from the Trump supporters on this one, David.
Hey, you know what? This whole transgender thing, they rolled up. Who knew that so many celebrities in Hollywood were actually transgender? I mean,
what about Michelle Obama? That one I can definitely agree. I mean, look, if you look at the hip or the shoulder ratio, and someone even pointed out the hands. That one, that was very interesting to me. That I think you had as a male, you have a longer ring finger, and the long, what's it called again in English? Long. I'm going to the Swedish term for it now. The long finger. What is it called?
Your ring finger.
Yeah, ring finger.
On a man, the ring finger is longer, and a woman's the pointing finger is longer on a woman. It's the opposite, and so Michelle Obama has massive shoulders, a huge brow ridge. I mean, there's a whole checklist you go down to see if how somebody was born, and she didn't pass. She didn't pass. She was born Michael, and actually, you know, Obama was caught saying Michael instead of Michelle a few times during the speech. So we're looking at we're definitely looking at a transgender woman there. I think that looks like those hands have definitely been altered. Look how thin the fingers are. She doesn't have thin fingers like that. So this has been photoshopped. Now look at the hands. This is a little different.
Look at how big she is there, though.
Jeez. She's massive.
That's crazy.
Is that Obama?
It looks like it.
That looks like a little boy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, this one is not photoshopped.
Yeah, I think that's real.
Yep, that's real. All right. No, it's fine.
Sorry to get off on.
Yeah. No, that's fine. It's fine. So let's talk about North Korea for a little bit.
Show my new North Korea picture.
Yeah, let's get to that one. We'll pull that up here. But what I was thinking about there is that you've seen lies from the mainstream media about North Korea. in a way that you unfortunately also see a lot of alternative sources kind of playing into. I guess I'm thinking about Alex Jones primarily. He's become very much an aggressive attacker on North Korea. And again, I don't know much about what's going on there. I actually took the time just the other day looking at some footage from the inside of North Korea. There are a couple of people working there. They're traveling around, kind of filming everyday life, really, just putting it up on YouTube. That was actually very interesting just to watch that. But, you know, the mainstream media are talking about ridiculous things like the haircut that Kim Jong-un has, that one was actually mandatory by all males in North Korea. And it's just not true. It's ridiculous. There's people that traveled over there and just, like, showed this, you know, and it's just not true. Why do you think they're attacking North Korea in this way, and are they really a threat, or is it that they're isolationists and these globalists simply doesn't like that, even though they're commie?
Well, what's happening is that there was five countries that didn't have a Rothschild central bank. One of them was Libya, okay? It was Libya, Iran, North Korea, Cuba, forget the other one, but, okay, bingo, four. I mean, that... recently. So you see what they did to Libya. You see that they just destroyed the country, basically. And then the first thing they did was put a central bank in. Well, North Korea doesn't have a central bank. They don't want to have anything to do with anybody on the outside. But we can't have that, so we have to threaten them and go in and destroy the country so that we can put in a new bank. That's what I see happening. That's all it is. I mean, he would not threaten anybody. He never attacked anybody. It's America who threatens and attacks everybody. But, you know, look, they're just a strong arm of the Zionists. That's what's happened. Zionism has taken over America. We saw what they did to Russia. They went in with communism, which was created by Karl Marx in 1917. So-called the Russian Revolution, which wasn't a revolution at all. It was just bankers that paid a bunch of thugs to go in and kill the royal family and install this new form of government. And that's what you see happening with America. It's communism, okay? It's communism through the back door.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just repackaged, and it's with the gloss of the media. You know, they hire MTV to... the producers to help, trick up the nightly news so it's more fun to look at. So it's, you know, this is what's happening.
Yeah, it's like it's wrapped today, David. It's kind of wrapped in this, like, anti-white narrative. It's wrapped in the SJW narrative. It's like speech control, even behavioral patterns now that are being limited and stuff like that. It's, as you say, it's coming through the back door. Now people feel... you're a good and a moral person when you abide by these, you know, impositions and speech codes and behavior, protocols and all this kind of bullshit, right?
You know, when I was in Sweden, I don't know if many people know this, but, you know, it's illegal in 14 countries in Europe to deny or to say that the Holocaust, you know, the Holocaust didn't happen the way they said it did. And if you stood on the corner with a sign that said the Holocaust is a hoax, you can be sure the police would pick you up and question you for a good long time and maybe put you in jail, maybe just give you a nice $5,000 fine. And if you did it again, well, anyway, I started doing this. I started illustrating what I thought about the Holocaust, and they started harassing me, coming in my house, and holy smokes. They shut me down pretty quick. I mean, you don't know what it's like to be followed or to have your, you know, something in your own bedroom vandalized. That's what I was going through. So and plus it's happened back in America here. I wasn't out of the second book there. If you look, there's a page 98. I put a 10 forensic investigation that. Points how the Holocaust was a hoax, and well, I immediately got a screw in my tire, and they started stealing stuff off my front area of my house, and so they were back, you know. So they shut you down. They shut you down. Free speech is not any more here than it is in Europe. So if you go to page 98,
yeah, I want to find that 98.
Next page, there it is.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. See, if you show that now, and what I end up having to do was remove that page from the book, okay? And that's the only way they left me alone. Is I sent you a book that has it intact, but the other books have it taken out. So
where,
you're looking.
Where was this? On who pressured you again? Sorry, I missed that. To take it out.
Oh, they don't. Well, who do you think it was?
Them. But what channels, I'm saying, how did this message, who was it delivered to you that you had to take that out?
I figured it out only because I've been I've gone through so much harassment in Europe. Soon as it started up, I realized I couldn't go through it again, so I removed it. But I'm not removing it again.
All right.
I'm not removing it when I reprint. So there you go. There's what the information that you're not allowed to see is 10 extremely strong points on why the Holocaust is a hoax.
Right.
The fact that I'm even on the radio saying this is you know, look, if I did this in Europe, you know what would happen.
Yeah, it's the most controversial topic, I'd say. It's a third rail, touch it, and you die, and that's it. But, you know, we always been for free historical inquiry. I don't really care about the intimidation around it or the how people are disallowing other people to look into it. And hey, let's face it, there's a lot of people in the alternative that also are very antagonistic towards people looking into this subject, unfortunately. I think that the free speech advocates would approach this subject and say, hey, you know what, I might not agree with, like, their conclusions or anything like that, but I'll defend their right to investigate it without being sent to jail, right? But we actually don't get that much from the free speech advocates, do we?
No, but you see how important it is for them to stop this information from getting out, because they're basing a whole country that they took over and a whole people that they're genociding on this one lie. So they don't want people to get this to get out, because if you read these points, you would immediately know that it's a hoax, and everything would shift. They don't want that. So they want you to be taught about the Holocaust in every school, and to continually be bombarded by this victimization of themselves, so that they can continue with their agenda, and you won't complain, because if you do, then you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just as the Israeli minister talked about, right? She said, sitting on Democracy Now, talking about how it's a trick, and they always used it to shut down criticism of Israel. It's pretty clever, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, look, I mean, if you look at this illustration you got right there, that is some ugly illustration, okay? And I put that in my book. You think I don't know how to softball it and to put things that would be more popular? I know exactly how to do that. I worked in the media in Los Angeles for a long time. I know how to, I worked in the children's entertainment industry. I know how to softball it and to put things that people want to see in that book. I didn't do that. I put the book out that I wanted to put out, the things that I wanted to say. And you know what? If they sell, then that's good. If it don't, then that, I don't care. I mean, I do care that I have to pay my rent sometimes, but, you know, a lot of people are just not, they have a family. They have to make their money. And if you stand up as an activist, if the Zionists or Illuminati or whoever it is that they want to shut you up are over control of you, then you'll lose your job. So a lot of people can't speak out. But I'm telling you is that there's no more handsome man on the planet than one that stands up and is willing to put his life at risk, to put all the money you make at risk. I mean, I've done that. I mean, everybody should do that, I think. But look, I paid the price. What am I trying to say here?
No, I get you. Let me follow up on that just a little bit. It's about being at the tip of that spear of truth seeking and going wherever the information leads you. And I feel very much we're in the same position. I mean, we are very much in some of the most dangerous territory that you can be in today, in the current year, as it were, with talking about things such as white genocide and mass immigration, how Islamification is ruining Europe and the West and America too, and the demographic decline and the attack on white people and these things, and on top of that, of course, questioning historical events, which is basically off the table. It's as dangerous as it can get, I feel, these days.
You know, in the old days, the kings and queens, when they had the jester come in and entertain, you know, in front of the royalty, if he just happened to make a joke that the king didn't like, he would be in the dungeon hanging, okay? And that's really what's happened for me, is that the art has become in my case, it's illustrations and art. I mean, in your case, you know, you're making videos, and you're in the same boat I am. And as a Swede, I know how dangerous it is in there with the Zionists that are running Sweden. For you, it was for me. They kicked me out. And look at that piece. Look at that Pizzagate piece there, right there. by the way, my Facebook page that had 5,000 friends just got deleted. They didn't even say why. They just said, "All right, you're out of here."
So, I know it's true. We've seen that too. Facebook is. I mean, they did initiate this filter supposedly, right? The fake news filter, and there's been a court case actually. Sorry, say that again.
The fake news filter. That's a great idea. I'm going to write.
Yeah. No, exactly. We should have that, of course. But what I'm saying is that Zuckerberg and his fellows there have initiated a process of basically keeping truth off of Facebook, things that are inconvenient truths, and they managed to shut down people's pages and just censor links and things like this. And one of the things that I've seen, David, is a court case in England where they actually, I think it was actually one of David Duke's videos that was played in the court in England. The video was basically featuring Barbara Spector, let me put it that way. And, of course, she's the one who's been attacking Sweden and trying to make Sweden multicultural and demographically suicide us, if you will, or kill us. And this, thankfully, though, so far was judged in the British court not to be hate speech, I believe. And they would still consider this to be allowed on YouTube. But so that's good. There was actually one win at the end of it, but this could change it at any point. What they've done, though, instead, is that all these advertisers stopped going to YouTube to provide them money to do sponsorships. So YouTube is put in this filter in place and basically saying, we're going to demonetize your videos, everything is going to be taken off, channels shut down and everything. So the big clampdown, if you will, has actually been initiated right now, and it's a very dangerous time.
Well, they had to demonetize it because not only were people making a living, but they were spreading so much information that they're trying to keep canned up. I mean,
we've been winning. We've been winning the culture war, the information war, you know?
We have, in a major way. Did you want to play that video? Let's see. I have some notes here. I do want to say that I wanted to touch on some of Trump's campaign promises.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then I'll tie that together with the definition of government. You know what that is? Govern means in control, and mint means mind. So it literally says in control of your mind. So yeah, there's something there for you. Yeah, well, I mean, who knew that? I didn't even know the definition of government. So, you know, I'm not ever acting like I know anything. Also, this fake gas attack in Syria that was staged and hoaxed, it says here within hours before anyone could study the evidence, Trump attacks Syria. So, you know, instead of it going on the internet where we could study this and go, hey, this is a hoax, he just went immediately and attacked Syria with, and we know why, because we would have figured out it was a false flag, BS, right away.
Yeah. In the past, let's preface that for those who don't remember. In the past, he had been very vocal and saying, you know, these things look fake, or this has been, you know, a stage, or it doesn't look like, you know, Assad did these things. He's made comments like that in the past. And this time he just went straight for the mainstream news, version of this, while he's just the next day talking about a bad journalism and fake news and all this stuff, right? So it doesn't make sense.
Well, it makes sense perfectly because he's working from a script. This guy is going to do everything that they tell him to do. And he does it. He's a great actor. He will sell. That's why he got the job. You know, I mean, it was between him and Hillary, and there was basically, you're looking at two sides of the crime family. One wanted Hillary, and one wanted Trump. So, you know.
But it looks like they wanted Hillary more, considering the treatment of Trump, right? I mean, I can't see it any other way. I mean, again, I just go back to that. The way that he was attacked is just like I've never seen anything like it. They didn't want him.
No, I don't believe that for a minute. He's a friend with the Clintons. The Clintons probably got together with him and said, look, attack us. You know, it's just like one of those wrestling, pro-wrestling events where, you know, it turns out they're all just friends, and they're just up there hitting each other and acting and fake blood. You know, it's all fake. It's, you know.
So is that why Trump didn't pursue Hillary to put her in prison, as he said?
As soon as he got in, he said, you know, me and Hillary, the Clintons have been friends forever, and they're really good people. You've seen the Clintons.
Yeah. You know,
it's all staged.
It's very disappointing. So what do you think about the other campaign promises? Healthcare, there was something passed now just today at the time we're doing this recording. We'll see if and whatever comes out of that. But the wall has not been included in the budget. They were going soft on Dreamers and things like this. What's going to happen here with Trump next?
Well, yeah, you're just talking about bringing all the jobs back. That's never going to happen. Are you kidding? I mean, when you got somebody in China working for a dollar a day, do you really think that you're going to bring jobs back to America, where these guys, where these men can drive their giant monster trucks and keep feeding their family a bunch of spare ribs for dinner? You know, it's America. Come on, it's America.
America.
You've been to America, haven't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I spend part of the year in America.
Yeah. You know what, Henrik, the good thing is that I got to see Sweden before you got overrun with the
Muslims.
The Muslims. But, you know, it was happening when I was there between 2003 and 2012.
Went very fast. It began in the 90s, but it went very fast in the early 2000s, yes.
Yeah, I had a friend that was Assyrian. I didn't even know what Assyria was. Turns out there was a country called Assyria that was where Iraq is now. And there was the Iraqis apparently went in and they pushed them out, and they became migrants. And some of them ended up in Sweden, and they were talking about that how happy they were with Bush because Bush was going to destroy Iraq. It's so dark. It's so dark.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's when the people that they're flooding into your country or to Germany or all these countries, it's, you're looking at war.
Yes.
These people, this is war. They're flooding in young men. You don't see families walking in there. It's all young men that are there, and they're there for one reason. That's to destroy your culture and to make babies. That's exactly what you're looking at.
Yeah, do you remember that out of Germany? They were, like, literally doing instruction manuals of, like, this is how you impregnate, like, German women. Do you see that? I mean, it's just outrageous. It's, like, government-sponsored. We had a similar thing in Sweden, but it was actually a little bit more like, LGBTQ-focused, so that, you know, there was, like, a tax-funded organization bringing out brochures to newcomers, newly arrived, right? That's the PC term for it. You know, saying what your rights are if you're like trans or, you know, gay or homo or something like that. And it's just this out of control culture clash that's occurring. You know, you're bringing in these very, in many regards, backward third world people, very religious in many cases, bring them to liberal Sweden and teach them how to have gay sex. I mean, it's not going to end well, you know.
It's not going to end well. I'll tell you how it is going to end, though. You're looking at the new world order, and in America, Georgia, they erected a thing called the Georgia Guidestones, G-U-I-D-E, Guidestones. And on it, they talk about maintaining the population of Earth at 500 million. Now, that is 90% less than it is right now. So they've announced their intentions. So the fact that they're flooding Islam into Europe, they could care less because they're getting ready to exterminate 90%. Anyway, okay, and they're going to go underground while it happens. All these underground bases, you know, they got, and, you know, let me tell you this. I don't know if I told you this last time, but when I was in Sweden, I had a girlfriend, and she was friends with an old man that she said, tell David what you told me. And as it turns out, he said, I have worked on an underground facility in Sweden here. He said they took us there. It was just, you just drive right in, it goes down underground, and he said, there's a city under there. He said, they have it completely prepped for everybody in Sweden. They could feed them all. The royal family has their own area. It's giant. He said, it's incredible. And he said, you never would know it's there. So, I think that that's a very altruistic viewpoint. Swedes, you know, they do want to take care of their own. To some degree, the truth comes when it comes down to it. You know, you're probably not going to be allowed to get in there. It's probably just going to be, you know, people that are going to go along with the agenda. It's not going to be all the Swedes. But certainly America has got the same underground facilities, and we certainly are not going to be allowed in there. It's only going to be the guys that are in the club, and I ain't in the club, and you ain't in the club. So,
no, George. That is correct. I was actually on a tour the west coast of Sweden to old military kind of, well, they were underground bases. They were bases inside of mountains and things like this, and was very interesting. So in some cases, there was even old, like, military, you know, manuals and instructions, and, you know, the whiteboards, the chalkboards were still there, some of the furniture, coffee makers and stuff like this. We traveled around probably to, I don't know, maybe 5 to 7 or something like that, different ones. But these were the ones that were, they had given up on. The funding for this had stopped, and they had evacuated these facilities. Some of them had been turned into, like, server, you know, rooms and things like this. Various people have been renting them. But I always wondered about that, you know. Does this mean that they still have their bases, but they're just deeper down and they're more extravagant? Maybe as, not as many of them, but maybe fewer for the elite if and when something happens. I don't know. I just speculated. I never saw those, but I saw the ones that they've walked away from. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, I can't answer any of that. I've never been down there, but I can only imagine what they've got when you've got these machines that are 20 feet across, and they can dig through a mile of rock a day, or probably even faster now. It's probably 10 miles a day or 15. They have underground highways that completely cross America. This is you'll never see this on the mainstream news, though. So.
No. We could take a break here in like 5 or so, 5-6 minutes. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about the because you mentioned it earlier about jobs, outsourcing, automation is coming. What's the future going to be like, basically? And I've been very interested in issues such as transhumanism, artificial intelligence development, robotics. I think automation is one of the first steps where we are going to begin to see people being displaced because of new technology. I'm not necessarily against that, to be honest, but I am against who is going to control the machine society once these systems are starting to emerge, and the transhumanist technology and things like this. Tell us about your interest in this a little bit, and we can check, if we don't have time before the break, we can check the clip that you had later, but tell us a bit about the subject.
What they do is, instead of giving you the truth on the news, the nightly news, that's all made up, what they do is they drop it into the movies and the TV shows. And that's the way they roll out, and they tell you what's getting ready to happen. And it's also predictive programming that once you see it, once you see these robotic cops that are going to be chasing you down, then you'll not be so surprised, and certainly will go along with the system that they're rolling out. In China, there was a company that this was just the last couple of years, I think. There was a company that employed 4 million people, Chinese people, and they fired 25% of them. 1 million of them were fired and replaced with robots. So if you don't think that you can lose your job to automation, to robotics, you got another thing coming. That's exactly what this is going towards, and will make everybody pretty much obsolete. Now, what are you going to do with a bunch of obsolete people that need to work, that need to be fed? I think that pretty much they've already told us they're going to be exterminated. So how are they going to do that? Well, I think that probably with viruses, and then eventually be hunted down by the robotic Terminators that were in The Rise of the Machines. There's a movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know if he was in the third one. He probably was. But this is called Rise of the Machines. So they're telling you. They're telling you that this is getting ready to happen. I don't know about you, but running through the forest with a robot chasing you is not really what my idea of the future is. But I think that's what we're looking at.
I remember there was a TV show out of Britain called Tripods, which is very interesting. It showed actually that future of partially of a group that had split off. They were like living in the forest or living natural lives. They were growing their own food and these kinds of things. And then the flip side of that society, they began focusing in the series on the other side, if you will, which was these humans that were living controlled by machines, basically at a certain age. They were like capped with this, you know, kind of computer brain interface and stuff like that. And I was watching many, many years ago, and I always remember like that's a scary vision. But something in me just said, you know, that's what might develop here, because as people go into more transhumanist, you know, kind of technologies and begin to interface with computers, link their brains to it and stuff like that. Virtual reality is now, I guess, finally, if I can use that word, finally beginning to show up on the scene as something real, real and tangible. This wasn't the case, you know, back in the early 2000s, but now they're actually, you know, these VR sets are for sale. people are going to get plugged in. You know, it's going to turn into the Matrix in one way or another. And I've always wondered, you know, who at the end of this is going to program these machines? Who's going to control them? What kind of algorithms are they going to be given, right? Because at some point, as you say, the Terminator scenario is basically, oops, it got out of control. The machine just started doing as it wanted to. But what if that's not the case? What if these people are actually going to program these machines to go after, you know, as you say, 90% or something, and the rest of the 10% are going to get a free pass with the right chip in their, you know, in their arm or something? I don't know.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen, but you can be sure that they're going to distract you with all the entertainment and all the different problems you have until it's too late. You know, the technology is already there. They already have these, well, we're going to show a clip with the next segment of what they have. It's you know what?
It's crazy.
If we got it just one more minute. Will you look in the book one and write about the last couple of pages, I dropped in an illustration of somebody being hunted down by a robot. Zoom in on that. Now look at what's happening there. Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right. Can you see the mother and the child?
Yep.
Next to the okay, she's in an alleyway being hunted down by this cop, by this robot. I mean, that's
a RoboCop.
That's just one illustration that I've done to kind of give you an idea of what this would be like. And what are you going to do? Shoot the robot? You know, you think that's going to? You think it's not bulletproof? Holy smoke! I mean, good lord.
And then you have other technologies like the crowd control technologies that you're showing in this picture of. I think they call them the VMADs. It's these, like, you can direct these super high frequencies towards people, and so, you know, you can start vomiting or just, like, your head feels like it's going to explode. So if you're going to go out on the street and, like, say no to the system, they'll just, like, turn this thing on, and and that'll be that, you know. You'll disperse real damn quick. It's scary. Sure. Scary stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's in book one. Maybe we could send people to my website. And we can,
yeah, exactly. Tell us about how they can get these books. I mean, it's some really, really detailed and very, very, how do I put it, didactic illustrations that can educate people and get people. It's kind of in a way, it's a meme, right? It's an early version of that. It's a way for people to really just get a sense of a concept real, real fast. That's how I see it. How would you describe it?
Yeah, they read very fast. It's certainly to get the book. I don't even sell it on Amazon. You can only get it through me, and because of that, I tend to sign these books. So I think they're going to be extremely valuable in the future, because I don't see many of these getting printed. You know, right now, it seems like they're plentiful, but I guarantee you, they're not going to be. There's only 1,000 printed this new one. So go to my website, and that is DDEES. .com. That's two D's, two E's, and an S. .com. And then you'll see my book, the third book that I'm building right now. You can order that. You'll see all the information about ordering the books. And they're really very reasonable price. I mean, for what you get. You've got the books there. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're great. I didn't actually look at the price. You were very kind to send two of the copies, the first and the second volume, to me, and I've been enjoying them, you know, a lot. There's a lot of good illustrations in there, and people have been using your stuff for years, David. I mean, in terms of, you know, people in the conspiracy field, but also people in you know, other fields as well, because they're potent. They contain so many different things. They're multi-layered. It's not like a meme in that regard. It's like so many different things in there, and it's just jam-packed. You dump a concept on people, you know, yeah, real damn quick with your illustrations. So I've been enjoying your art for years, David. You know, so it's great to have you on the show and talk with the man behind it. You know.
Thank you. I do make it free to use for anybody if it's a non-profit, although people use them for profit, too. I mean, what am I going to do? Look, it's not about me. It's about getting the information out. That's how I feel. I mean, that's the way they were created. They were never created to try to make money, although I found that, you know, I got to make some money.
Yeah, you got to pay your bills. That's the reality of it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. That's just how it goes. A lot of artists, they find different ways of working. You do, of course, book covers and things like this as well. Is that still going well? Are people hiring your services to do some of the book covers?
Yeah, I do design book covers. I just got hired to do one. You know what? I'm so dizzy with so much information, I can't even remember what it was. But it's I design the book covers mostly for people that are independent authors, because when you get into the bigger publishing companies and they get a load of me and my viewpoints, they tend to blacklist me pretty heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it's an honor.
Yes, exactly. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break here in a little bit. And as we said, then in the meantime, definitely check out the website, DDs for DavidDees.com. That's the place to go. Check out Volume 1 and 2. They're there already. You can pre-order the Volume 3 right now. Do you know when that's going to be out and available, approximately?
I'm guessing in a month. I also have to sell enough copies to print it.
Well, that's just it. And those color plates are not cheap to do, you know?
And check out the quality of the printing on those.
Very
books.
Good. Exactly. Nice glossy paper and stuff like that. Real high quality, you know, so it's good stuff.
Yeah. As a career illustrator, I've seen my art printed terribly over the years. And this, I'm telling you, the true colors of this book is just, of course, digital printing has really improved a lot of printing, but these are the best coffee table book you could have. If you're an activist or if you're a truther, then you want to, or if you have a family that is not completely woke up, you definitely got to have these books because they wake up people. When you don't even have to say a word, just hand them the book. They'll look at it. Believe me, they'll look at it.
Yeah, that's right. And folks, again, you might not agree with all the topics or the conclusions or things like this, but it's just fully loaded with all kinds of stuff that people are talking in within the conspiracy field, some that dovetails with alt-right kind of topics, some that dovetail with revisionism, obviously, or just full-on revisionism, a lot of other things in there as well, and health and things like this, too. And that's actually something I want to ask you about, David, in the second. We're going to talk a bit more about robotics, the future, transhumanism, these kinds of things, take a look at some clips as well, and then get into the other aspect of this that people actually don't know much about, which is the GMO aspect, the terrible pressure that people are under health-wise today with the crappy food, all the stuff that people are putting in their bodies, on their bodies and everything else. And I think that's part of the plan, to be honest, make people dumb and unhealthy and just be focused on the most mundane issues. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything at all. You're never going to fight. You're never going to do anything. So we'll talk about that and much more with David Ease in the second hour. So stay tuned, everybody. RedIceMembers.com. Go there to sign up for a membership with us. That's the best way to support us. That way you can check out the second hour. You can check out our Weekend Warrior show that we do as well. On the weekends, a really good, funny produced live show. So definitely don't miss that. But we'll take a short break. We'll see you on the other side. Thank you so much for watching. Stay tuned.